weeks we have been looking at the Lord's Prayer, right? How do I not only recite the Lord's Prayer or even say the Lord's Prayer, but then when we look at the Lord's Prayer, the Lord wants us, right, to live out the Lord's Prayer. And so we have been looking on a series called Living the Lord's Prayer, right? We say, we memorize, right? We know by heart, even in our sleep, we are able to recite it without any mistake. But I think God wants us to live out, right, to live the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is a very powerful testimony, right? And today's phrase that we are going to look at, what Jesus said, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us, right? Forgive our debts as we forgive, right, people who sin against us. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing you as Lord and Savior of our lives. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of hearing your word. We have access to your word, O God. Father, we pray that we will not take your word lightly. Help us, O Lord, to be sensitive to the prompting of your spirit. Give us a heart of obedience, O God. A heart that will just long for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, I think we live in a society, you know, many a times I see the society as a very test-conscious society, right? We always want to test. We will go for a medical test every year. We want to make sure things are okay with us, right? Our sugar level is fine, our heartbeat is there, and we try to make sure that we are on track, right, in terms of health-wise. Every year, not only every year, every 3 months or 4 months, we bring our cars for a maintenance test. We want to make sure, you know, things are well so that we will be safely driving on the road, right? We do a lot of tests. I know when I was in Singapore, when we, you know, when we select our pastors, we send them for psychological tests. We want to make sure that they pass the psychological tests, because if not, they might need some kind of help. And so, if you realize you need to go for tests, and I know some of you are preparing for exams, am I right? Hello? Yes, some of you are just waiting. My last one or my second last one, I'm done with my exams. And I know, you know, each and every one of us at every stage of our life, we are going for exams or tests. You know, we want to cross over the hurdle. We want to overcome. We want to be successful because, you know, we want to make sure things are all right for us. You know, when I look at the Lord's Prayer, it's not only a prayer that speaks about the entire gospel, but it also talks about test. You know, it's actually testing us, right? When we come to the Lord to pray, what are our priorities? How do I approach Him? Do I just come to Him like a supermarket, right, or a cafeteria and say, Lord, this is what I want? Or do I see Him as my Father, right? Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom, Thy power. Right? Is it my priorities is to worship God, to glorify Him? It's about His plan for my life, His will for my life, right? Having an intimacy with God, or is it just bringing the list of things that we want? Lord, this is what I want to happen in my life. So when I look at the Lord's Prayer, it's a test at how, you know, what's our priorities in life, right? What are the things that we really long for? Do we long for God? About His presence, right? About His will, about His joy, or do we just long for God to just listen to us, right? Answer our prayer requests, right? And we want to go back home and say, these are the things that God has, it's a checklist, and God has actually done to me. So the Lord's Prayer is also a test. Last week we were looking at the word, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And God wants to feed us. And today, you know, when you look at the word, when Jesus says, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us, it's also about a test, right? We want to be healthy. We want to be healthy physically. I think there are things that you need to eat. You need to be eating sufficient carbs or protein, whatnot. We were just having a conversation today, right? You have 2 cups or 3 cups of coffee a day. They say it's good for you. Am I right? Hello? Some people are saying, I know people who are drinking coffee will say yes. Those who say no, they will say no. That's what they say. Maybe in another 5 years' time, they will say, you know, the findings are wrong and all that. And so that's the world that we live in today. And I think in our spiritual life, it's important for us. Two ways to be healthy, right? Two ways to be healthy. In our physical life, these are the things that you need to do. Food, diet, or even exercise. It's good. Environment plays a lot of part in our growth. So spiritually, you know, Jesus is also teaching us it's about forgiveness and forgiving. To be healthy in our spiritual life, to be a victorious Christian, to be a person who's just doing the will of God, we need to be forgiven. And so today we need to ask ourselves, am I forgiven? Am I sitting in this church as a forgiven person that God has forgiven me? Do I know for sure that my sins have been wiped out by the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I forgiven, or am I still struggling with my shame, the guilt that is in me, the sins that are in me? And secondly, I think to be healthy, am I forgiving? So not only I experience forgiveness in my life, but am I forgiving people? Right? Forgiveness is a very tough subject, right? Seeking God's forgiveness, it's easy. We come to God, right, without, you know, even thinking about the word. We say, Lord, forgive me. And maybe good thing God doesn't stop us and ask us, what should I forgive you with, right? We say, Lord, forgive me. And so it's important for us to seek forgiveness. But at the same time, the most difficult part is to forgive someone who actually hurt you. Someone who spoke bad about you, right? Who spoke ill about you in your workplace, or your good friends, your relatives. They smile at you, but actually at the back, they're actually stabbing you from the back. How do you forgive such people? It's a struggle, right? What do I do? But the Lord is teaching us from this particular phrase that we need to be found forgiven, and also, right, exercising forgiveness, right, forgiving one another. Let's look at the passage, the word that Jesus have said, and let me start by asking, are you forgiven today? Right? We need to ask ourselves, am I forgiven today? Can we boldly say, Pastor Vincent, I'm seated here today knowing that Jesus has forgiven me. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, my sins are wiped away. Everything has been taken away. I think you remember some time ago I told you a story about Martin Luther. Martin Luther had a vision. Right, I said, Satan came to Martin Luther and said, Luther, you know, you're a great reformer, but do you realize you've been a sinner? And Satan told him in the vision, these are all the sins that you've done, right? From the time you were born, when you were a child, right? From a teenager and on, these are all the sins. Can you imagine Martin Luther was just listening to the long list? He felt ashamed for a while. Then he suddenly realized and told Satan, you know, you forgot something. The blood of Jesus has washed my sins totally. Wiped out. No more there. Right? The Lord says, I will forget your sins. Not only I forgive, but I forget your sins. And so today, can we as a church say, the Lord has forgiven me. I'm a forgiven person by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I'm a child of God and I belong to Him. There was a time in my life I said, Lord, You are my Savior and my Lord, and I give myself to You. I've sought His forgiveness, and Christ has forgiven me. And so today, my friends, we need to ask ourselves, am I forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank God for the gospel. Right, thank God for the Word of God, because the Word of God, you know, this man, John Perkins, says the only purpose of the gospel is to reconcile people to God and to each other. A gospel that doesn't reconcile is not a Christian gospel at all. But unfortunately, he says, right, we have substituted gospel to church growth for a good gospel of reconciliation. In other words, my friend, you know, the good news is that when Jesus is teaching us, He's teaching us that there is good news, that the gospel that Jesus brought us is a gospel of reconciliation, that we can reconcile with God, we can call Him Abba Father, we can say that I'm chosen, I'm forsaken, I'm not forsaken. I'm accepted by the Lord. I belong to Him. I'm a child of God. And so the gospel is a gospel of reconciliation. If the gospel doesn't speak about reconciliation, I don't think I'll be preaching here. And I don't think many of us will be here today. He talks about God's love. He talks about that God is a God who is so willing and very forgiving in our lives, my friend. So I think we need to realize, I think each and every one of us, we need to be forgiven. Two things today I would like to share with you from the prayer that Jesus is teaching us. He teaches us, right, as we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so in other words, we need to be forgiven each and every day of our life. Each and every day, I need food for my survival, right? I cannot be just fasting. I need food. And similarly, the phrase, if you look at the passage very carefully, Jesus is teaching us, it's not once in a month that I come, right, and say, Lord, this is my sin. But as I need food each and every day, Lord, I need to be forgiven each and every day. I need to be forgiven. Why? Why should I be forgiven? Right, we look at the word very carefully. In certain translations, it's about sin. Forgive us as our sins. In certain, Luke writes, trespasses, right? Debts. And these are some of the words that you begin to see in these particular words. They are all the same. In other words, I think all of us know what is sin, right? Sin is just missing the mark. It's like throwing an arrow, but you miss the mark. And similarly, you miss the things that God expects. You have broken the law, right? You have broken the word of God. So trespass is actually making false steps in our life or wrongdoings in our life, right? Let me just show, you know, why did Jesus is actually teaching us about sin, right? I think all of us know what is sin, right? It's wrongdoing, right? We have a lot of words for that. It's wrongdoing. It's breaking God's law, right? It's just missing the mark. It's not doing what is expected from us. So when Jesus is using the word forgive us, or even certain words, you'll realize he uses the word debts. Because in the Jewish culture, when someone sins, right, the person becomes dead. In other words, he becomes debtor to God, right? He owes God. So the more sin I do, every moment if I'm sinning, right, my bank becomes much more bigger. Can you imagine? In other words, you have to pay much more loan. And so that's the way the Jews always saw that. So every time I sin, I owe God. I'm indebted to Him. And so at the same time, when you look at the scriptures very carefully, I put some scripture passages for you, right? So the more debt you have, the more you become a slave to sin. Right? I don't know, some of you, you know, I know when we buy houses, right, we when we start, you know, we have to pay like a slave, right? You have to make sure your payments are there. If not within 3 months, what happens? The bank sends you a notice to say, you know, not, we are not receiving your payment, right? And they give you some kind of timeline to pay. So it starts with small, it becomes big, it becomes a debt, and then we become a slave to sin. We are controlled by that, right? We live for that. In other words, our life becomes sin. Our life becomes a slave to sin. And that's what Paul is trying to teach us in Romans 6, 16. He says, right, we're slaves to sin, leading to death. What is happening? You know, as we long, as the day, as we live, finally, we have spiritual death and also physical death, right? And that's the way Paul, and so Jesus is teaching us that each and every moment we need to be found asking God to forgive us, right? And look at the passage that was given to us today. You know, these are some of the sins, you know. I was trying to read and to find out how many sins the Bible speaks about. Some say it's around 137 biblical sins. Some say 667. I'm just not looking at all these numbers. But these are some of the current things, right, we struggle with. And such things, such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? Look at the list. Can you identify some things in your life? The Lord says, You know, unless you're forgiven, unless you've experienced forgiveness, it's difficult for us, or even impossible for us, to inherit the kingdom of God, right? And so each and every one of us needs forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. You know, look at the way God forgives us from the passage that we just read today, right? Matthew, we need forgiveness. It's about a king. It's about the kingdom of God, right? The story says the master is God, and the first servant is us, each and every one of us. And so the master wants the servant to settle the account. In verse 24, the man owed him 10,000 bags of gold. So if you calculate in today's currency, probably a couple of millions of dollars, right? So this man is indebted to God. We are indebted to God, my friend. Because each and every moment, God has been so gracious to us. Can you imagine? So merciful to us, right? Grace after grace, right? He has been just giving us opportunities for us to come back to Him, right? We fall back, but even the Lord has been so good to us, providing each and everything that we need in our lives. We're indebted to Him. And then it says, our debts are bigger than our resources can pay. Right? This man is not able to pay. Dear friends, I think each and every one of us cannot pay for our sins. Because as I said, every sin that we do becomes a debt to God. Right? And if we don't repent, what happens? It grows. It grows. And we become slaves to sin. There is no way out for us. Right? Through our merits, we cannot save ourselves. Through our good deeds, we cannot save ourselves. Through whatever it means, we cannot save ourselves. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is teaching us to say this prayer, Lord, forgive us, because we need your forgiveness. Our debts are bigger than our resources can settle, right? And God has mercy on us and forgave our sins. Can you imagine? The man came and fell on his knees and he said, Lord, be patient with me, that's all. And he said, Lord, I'll pay you back. Right? If I or you were in that picture, you would say, okay, I give you 2 years or 18 months, right? No interest, pay me back. He just asked him for time. But the master was so gracious. He said, you don't need to pay me back. He asked him, you know, give me time. Give me maybe another year or maybe 5 years. I'll pay you back. It's a good deal. But the master was so gracious, so merciful. The master knew that this man is not able to pay him back. Right? Because he doesn't have the resources. He doesn't have the merits to pay him back, my friend. And the master took pity on that slave and said, I've forgiven you. Right? You need not pay me back. I think today each and every one of us, you know, by just doing some good things, right, you know, we cannot own God's forgiveness, my friend. But God, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to forgive us. Not our merits, not the things, the good things that we do occasionally, right, and say, yes, I can, you know, win God back. The Lord says, no, no, no. It's only because of what Jesus did on the cross for us that you and I can be forgiven. Can you say that I'm forgiven today? Can you say, Pastor Vincent, I'm sitting here in this church as a forgiven person. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and each and every day I've gone to His presence and said, Lord, forgive me. Because I don't want to have debt with you. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I want to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I think the great opportunity the Lord gives us, right? The verse reminds us and in 1 Peter 2:24, that it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can. I do not know, right? Maybe there might be some of us here today. The Lord wants to wipe away all our sins, our past sins, or even our present sins, my friend. It's only when we start saying, Lord, I want to confess. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. You know, what a powerful God we have. He says, you just confess, right? And say, I'm sorry, Lord. The Lord says, I'm faithful and I'll forgive you from all my from your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The psalmist says in 32:5, he says, I acknowledge my sin. First of all, I think we need to acknowledge, right? First of all, do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you see yourself, you know, I've wronged God in many things. I know that I'm not supposed to do, but I did. That is also sin. That's what James talks about it. If I know that I'm supposed to do something and I do not do it, James says it is also a sin. Do you acknowledge? Do you see yourself as a sinner? I know people today don't like to be called as a sinner, right? We don't want to be called. But do you see yourself that you need God's forgiveness, that I cannot hide my sins, my iniquities, but I need to confess? When I confess to the Lord forgave the guilt of my sin. And Colossians also says, you know, I was looking at Colossians, very interesting, looking at the word of the Jewish culture, right? The Lord has actually canceled the record of my debt. As I told you, right? Every sin becomes a debt. So the list becomes longer and longer. And so Paul is very conscious about this, right? Being in that particular culture, he says, the Lord will cancel each and everything in the list. Right? He takes away from us the sins that we have done and offended him. Let me move to the next one and I'll be done with this. Right? Our need to forgive others. That's one thing that we struggle. Am I right? Hello? Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's a loud yes. That's good. Yeah, we struggle. I've also struggled in my life, right? Can you imagine? People, no, if it's friends outside who do not know Christ, probably you might say, yeah, the person does not know Christ. Okay, I can forgive. What about people in the church? Right? They say hi to you, praise the Lord, brother, you know, and I'm praying for you, and then they speak at the back of you. Right? Or they dig your grave for you. Can you imagine? I was reading a book called Enemies in the Pews. Right? Can you imagine there are enemies in our pews today? Right? So don't look at your neighbor and look at them as enemies. I'm not saying that. You know, there will be people in our church for us to forgive. It is hard. Can you imagine, right? As I told you, look at the passage. It says, forgive us. It's not forgive my sin, but our sin. Our church as a family, right? It's hard to forgive someone who hurt you, right? In the church family. It's easy to forgive someone who's outside because they do not know about God's love. But what about in the church? Because we expect people in the church to be wonderful, nice, loving, caring, right? There for you. And then it's difficult, right? It hurts. It's hard. Let me tell you, I recognize that, right? Being a pastor is not an easy thing, right? But then, you know, we need to exercise forgiveness. And so Jesus is saying in this, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. What does it mean? Right? Does it mean, right, we need to ask ourselves, you know, when you look at the passage very carefully, right, what happens? Does it mean that, you know, God will forgive me with a condition provided I forgive someone? Because it says, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Looks like, looking at the phrase, it means as if, you know, God's forgiveness is conditional. It's unless I forgive my friends or my people in the church, then God forgives me. But actually the praise is not exactly like that, because looking at the parable today, look at the parable, right? It says the king forgave the man first. He was not waiting for the man to say, come back and say, Lord, king, I've forgiven my fellow worker. No, no, no. The king forgave the man first, right? Though the man owed him much more than the other guy, the king was the first one who made the step of forgiving. And he was there forgiving, right? Probably the king did not know what was happening outside. That there was an act of mercy. It was not based on the servant forgiving the other servant. So when you look at the phrase, you know, what Jesus is trying to teach us, right? Look at the Greek word very carefully. There's a strong aspiration. The Lord wants us to be like Him. The Lord says, you know, you should appreciate that I have forgiven you. You have received my forgiveness. And I want you to be grateful, to show that forgiveness to people who don't actually deserve in the church. It's hard, right? But then the Lord says, you need to forgive. You need to be forgiving. So God expects us to be like Him, right? So God's love, forgiveness is not conditional. But God wants us to be like Him. And that's why if you realize Matthew chapter 5, you know, He says, you know, before you sacrifice, before you give your offering, go to your brother and settle with him before you come and make your offering to God. And so let me finish with these things, my friend. And so, you know, sometimes we struggle, right? So God wants us to forgive. And Paul writes it in Romans chapter 12. He says, you know, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable. Then he says, the fifth line, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So my duty is to forgive, right? I just leave it to God. God will take care. And let us not take care of that. Let us take care of forgiving the person, exercising God's love, because I'm not worthy to be forgiven. I owe him a lot, but this King, this Jesus, was so gracious to me. He forgave my sin, and so I should show his love to someone who have actually offended me. I think we have offended God more than people or friends who have actually offended us. Through our lives, our speech, our thoughts, we have actually offended him. And so we have offended him more. But I think our friends have offended us less. But I think we need to have that forgiving spirit in us. Two quotes for you to read, right? C.S. Lewis says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, very interesting way he's actually putting it. He's saying about intercession. The word intercession means bringing another person into the presence of God. That is intercession. And so he talks about Christian fellowship because the Lord's Prayer is about forgive us, right? Give us, forgive us. It's about us as a community, us as God's people, the body of Christ. So we need to have that forgiving spirit. That's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, right? We need to no longer condemn or hate a brother for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me. His face, that hitherto may have been strange and intolerable to me, is transformed in intercession. When I come and mention his name, what happens, right? And when I bring the person into the presence of God, I see that this God also loves him. And I should see in that lenses. And so it's difficult, but God wants us. The Lord expects us, wants us to be found forgiving in our lives, my friend. Let me, you know, share with you a story, then I'll be done. I was just reading. I came across this story from a book called written A Back Door to Success, right? It's about a father and his daughter were just taking a walk. It was a beautiful grassland, just grassland, right? And they were just walking. They were just enjoying nature, the father and the daughter. And then suddenly they realized from far they saw, you know, the fire was just coming off, just spreading. And can you imagine the fire? You see the fire and it was just grassland and it will come anytime and it will burn them alive. Immediately, the father and the daughter looked at it. There was a lot of fear in them. They didn't know what to do. And immediately, the father realized, you know, maybe I should do this. What he did, he started burning the grasses that was around him and around the daughter. So there was a huge a patch of land that was actually burned, the father burned. And he stood in the center with his daughter. So when the fires came, they could feel the heat, my friend. The daughter said, "Dad, the fire is coming." But the father said, "You need not worry, because we are standing in a burnt ground. In a burnt ground. And the fire will never hurt us." Dear my friends, when I looked at the story, I was asking myself, am I forgiven today? Right? Am I forgiven today? Am I standing, right, in the presence of God and say, the Lord has been forgiving me each and every day, because I have come confessing, acknowledging that I need His forgiveness. And because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, nothing will hurt me. It might come around me, but it's not going to hurt me, because I'm forgiven and I'm showing the love of God to others. Are you standing in the center, or are you in the farmland? Are you forgiven today? Can you boldly say when you leave this church, I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ? If not, my friend, the Lord says, confess, come to me. You cannot pay your debt, but I'm willing to pay. You did not pay me back. I will forgive your sin. And I want you to be like me. I want others to see Christ in you. Let's pray. What a loving God that we have today, my friend, who says, if you confess your sin, this God is faithful and just to forgive us. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he wanted them to see God's forgiveness each and every day as they wanted bread. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. We need forgiven. We need to be forgiven, my friend. Can you boldly say, I'm forgiven today? Are you struggling with some sins in your life? Are you saying, it's difficult for me to let go? But the Lord says, just leave it to me. I want you. I love you. I'm willing to forgive you. That's why I came and died on the cross for you. And I want to fill you with my love, my presence, my joy, my peace, which the world cannot give you. And I want you to be mine. Father, we thank you for this day, O God, that we can come into your presence boldly, O God, and saying, Lord, I need you. I need your forgiveness. There are moments in our life, O God, Satan brings back things in our life and says, he haunts us, O God, by speaking to us and saying that we are not worthy because of our sins. Lord, we thank you because of Jesus, we are forgiven. And so, Lord, help us to come to you daily, Father, to seek your forgiveness with a repentant heart. And help us, Lord, to be like Christ, forgiving. Lord, we realize it's difficult, but we want to be like you. We want to show your love to people who do not deserve, O God, because they have wronged us in many ways. But we want to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.